Don't believe everything you hear. Today on Podcast Magoria. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. I am James.
And I am Autumn. We sound so mysterious today.
Well, there has to be a little bit of unreliable narration since we are discussing our You movie, Urban Legend.
Ooh.
So maybe we aren't. I heard an urban legend that we're actually characters and we are not real people.
That is a true urban legend.
You know, I think that we've been replaced with AI. This 1998 hour and 45 minute long slasher classic.
We were surprised to see that it was 1998 because it feels like it came out later than that.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I always think of it being right there at 2000.
Yeah, maybe I thought it was 2002 is when it came out. But nope, yeah. Maybe that's when I finally saw it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
because I know I didn't see this one in theaters.
Oh, I definitely didn't see it in theaters, but I do remember like watching it with friends. Like the timeline matches in my head if I think about what friends I had at the time that we rented it for like Halloween and stuff.
Yeah,
like the story checks out.
Lines up with 2000s rather than the 90s.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, we watched it. I don't know how nostalgic you are for this one.
I do like this one. Mm-hmm. A lot of it came back to me. While watching, which was really cool. I think I watched other stuff a lot more than this. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This definitely does have some nostalgia for me, but maybe not as much as you, it turns out.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's weird because of the fact that this is a movie that I often forget exists. But I remember a lot of scenes that I usually attribute to other films.
Okay, that is fair enough, because there was the beginning scene. I, for some reason, thought that was for another movie.
Yeah.
Even though it totally makes sense to be in this one.
I connect this one a lot to American Psycho 2.
Okay. For some reason, in my mind, a lot of stuff gets mixed up between Urban Legend and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking that I probably watched them a lot around the same time, and that's why I get mixed up. I don't know. They're totally completely different concepts.
But I think that it's just because you have this holy trinity of slashers that came out around the same time.
Right.
Which is this, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and Scream.
Scream, yeah.
And so I think that for whatever reason, even though they are three very different movies, mm-hmm. I think if you went to a Blockbuster or a Pop and Go video for all you people from Monette and stuff in this area, they would do like, you know, a rent three for the weekend deal.
Right.
And so, bam, there's your three.
Exactly. Big heavy hitters.
Yeah. And so
we probably did rent all three of those at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's how it kind of all fits in my brain, and I totally get it. I Know What You Did Last Summer is the one I've seen the least.
Really?
Yeah.
See, out of the three, I think that's probably the one that I did see the most.
Wow.
And you would think it was Scream for me, but no. I Know What You Did Last Summer. I was obsessed with that one out of that trinity.
And as for Scream, Scream 2 is the one I saw the most.
Oh, yeah. Scream 2 is so good.
All right. Well, all that nostalgia aside, let's go ahead and start digging into this movie. It starts with the title. and then it is pouring down rain.
Yeah, probably the cleanest title sequence I have ever seen. We know exactly what we're getting into.
Yeah, we see a car driving in the rain, and there's a lady listening to a radio show, which we discover eventually that this is Sasha's radio show. It's like, what was that show from Dr. Drew back in the day, the Love Line or whatever?
Yeah.
It's a college version of it where she's giving sex advice to college kids,
which
God knows they need it.
Okay, but the thing is, it seems a little more extreme than Love Line even is.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's pretty nasty stuff that she's talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, throughout the movie, we hear a little clips of the radio show, and I'm just like, oh, my God, how did they get away with talking about this on a college radio show,
for real?
Even?
Nobody was really, listening.
True. Maybe that's how they did it.
Yeah, the girl driving almost has a wreck because she's putting in a cassette. That's how we know it's 98.
Yeah, that's how we should have. We didn't even have to look it up. We should have just been like, oh, cassette. It's not the 2000s yet.
Yeah, almost wrecks, but luckily she survives to get to sing along, if you want to call it that.
She
gets to howl along with Total Eclipse of the Heart.
I love that they did it that way, though, because every movie, they have the person singing pretty well.
Yeah, yes.
This is, like, so normie.
Yeah, she's getting the lyrics wrong.
Yes. She keeps having to, like, stop and be like, oh.
Yeah, I... Of all the stuff in this movie, that's one of the things I would like to understand the process for filming it.
Oh.
Because I think that she does such a good job faking not knowing the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
That I'm almost like, did she actually not know the song?
Right.
And they're like, we're going to let you listen to it once so you know at least kind of the song. And then we're going to film you singing along with it to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Because she does a great job at singing along poorly.
It's a funny little detail that I enjoy.
Yeah, it's delightful. Her vehicle is running on empty, so she has to stop off at a gas station. And here we are, folks. We're in our first tense scene already in the beginning of this movie where it's one of the last full-service gas stations.
Hey, in a couple of years, 9/11 happens, and then we really see none of them anymore.
Yeah,
you've got to mention who it is, though, in the scene.
Oh, yeah, folks.
Horror royalty.
Yes, we have the gas station attendant played by none other than Brad Dourif.
Yay! Chucky!
Yep, and he's bringing back his classic stuttering character Billy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
That's right. This scene is pretty much set up to where you're like, ooh, this gas station attendee, he's gonna be creepy on this gal. And he does end up kind of scaring her.
Yeah.
Scaring her so much that she drives off.
Yeah.
And he's just screaming, check your back seat!
Yeah,
There's someone in the back seat!
Yeah. A visceral scream.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore it. Yeah, it's such a good scene.
It's a good opening
for
a film.
It's an amazing opening.
And also one of the urban legends that is just totally sticks with you for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Every time I drive by myself, which is very rare, but when I do, I'm checking the back seat.
I always check the back seat. I look in the back seat before I've even gotten into the vehicle.
Oh, and see, that's smart.
And then when I get in, I peek back also.
Yeah. And sometimes I'll throw something like really aggressively in the back Be like, motherfucker, if you're back there.
Right. Yeah.
Just know you're going to get hurt.
I don't know. Like, it's so funny that I don't know if the newer generation.
Yeah.
Like, if that's with them or if it kind of stops with us.
Yeah, because, I do wonder about that.
Yeah, so our younger listeners, if there's any urban legends that you're aware of, or if you also check your back seat, let us know in our comments.
Yes. Unfortunately, she should have listened to that creepy gas station attendee because there is indeed somebody in the back seat and she gets the chop.
That's right, old backseat Axe Bob.
Okay. Yes, backseat Axe Bob. Just like I'm sure everybody knows who else makes an appearance in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Hook Door Handman.
That's right. Hook Door Handman.
Now we see the school where the radio station is.
Yes.
And we get more of Sasha's radio show, vulgar as ever.
Yeah. I think if I remember correctly, it's about a girl getting boyfriend stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like dogs
like
do?
A dog, yes.
Do you, like, okay, so do you think that, are all these moments with Sasha's show, are they, like, sex urban legends? Do you think that they're adding that as a layer?
Oh, you know, that could be it.
Yeah, like, because it just
that
feels
would be
like,
very smart.
Because it's this one, and then later on, it's about the girl that's worried about getting her stomach pumped.
Yeah,
and
I think
that's
it,
also a sex urban legend.
Yeah, I think... I didn't even think about that while we were watching. You're so right. Yeah. That's so funny and smart.
Yeah, right.
I love it.
We get introduced to the rest of our main characters. They're hanging out in a college coffee house. We're introduced to...
Natalie, Parker, Brenda, and Paul.
Look at that. Good for you for just bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, they're all hanging out listening to Sasha's show a little bit. And Parker starts to be like, hey guys, there's a big party going on. Mm-hmm. It's the anniversary of this murder that happened on the college campus. And so he goes into the story about how, like, what, it was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
There's these gruesome murders and ooh, they never found the guy. You know, it's a classic local urban legend type story. You know, there's 100 of them out there. And Paul, who was played by Jared Leto, I had totally forgotten he was in this.
Yeah.
He's just like, that's a BS story and you know it.
Yeah.
Don't be playing around like that.
Yeah, where's your proof? I'm in the newspaper and I know everything.
Yeah, I'm a journalist, you see.
Yeah, yeah. You might as well have a little hat that said press on the side
newsy.
Of it.
Yeah.
Brenda and Natalie end up walking and discuss more about urban legends, and Brenda challenges her to do Bloody Mary outside of the building that had the murder.
Yeah. Brenda's all thinking about Paul and how much she wants him.
Mm-hmm. We are then introduced to our other character, Damon, who is just a douche. He's just stereotypical college douche. He's always just joking, bro.
Yeah, just a joke, bro. The type of character that you need for any kind of movie like this, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to have the person that you're going to be cheering when they die.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You
always, like, all these films, and we've had this kind of theme, I think, throughout the A to Z this year, where there's this character where you go... Why is he around? Is he actually a part of the friend group? Does he belong here?
I think we had a makeup with all these awful characters.
Yeah.
We had a makeup from the twins in the Vivitch.
Yeah, that's right.
Us shit-talking them so much. So we had a full year of
almost
people that
movie.
Were shit-talking.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost every film we've had has been at least one character.
Yeah, we've been like, oh,
God damn,
missing.
Damon is the character for this one.
Yes. So after their little scare, Natalie goes back to the dorm rooms, and there just might be something a little off with this janitor that she sees in the hallway. You know, quiet guy. Another big horror icon, though.
Yes.
He's played by Julian Richings, who...
Yeah, he's in all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, as soon as you see his face, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen him in 5 million things.
Yeah.
Big icon. Really nice to see him make an appearance in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie gets to her dorm room, and... her roommate is grossly doing it right there in the middle. I mean, is that... I didn't go to a dorm. I didn't... I mean, I went to college, but I didn't do dorms.
Yeah. I did go to college, and I did have
you
a dorm.
You had the experience, yes.
I don't think, like... I don't know how it was with my other people I knew that were in dorms, but... Uh-huh. There might have been, like, smooching or something.
Right.
You know, something like...
Canoodling.
Yes, for lack of a better word, canoodling. Yeah, no, Tosh is getting slammed from behind with the lights on, mind you.
Well, like, no, because Natalie turned the lights on,
and that's when she gets yelled at. But
what about
putting a fucking sock on the door?
Yeah, and they didn't even stop for her to yell...
No,
she's still getting pounded.
Yeah, holy crap.
While yelling at Natalie, yeah. And Natalie just gets in her bed and puts her headphones on and turns around. I'm like, ew.
Ew. Natalie, have some respect. Complain to your resident assistant.
Right. I am not approved by any means, but good God.
Yeah.
The sex stuff in this movie is a little peculiar.
Yeah. I guess we just, maybe we weren't around the people that were going to Pound Town in front of everybody.
I guess so. Next day, we're in class finally.
Yes.
And guess what? We got another freaking horror icon.
Damn right.
Making an appearance. We got Professor England.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not his name, but I just kept calling him Professor England entire time.
Yeah, his actual character name is Professor Wexler. But yeah, he's giving a class on urban legends.
This is where the idea got in my head that I could go to school to be a urban legend expert,
yeah.
A fairy tale expert, you know.
What school?
It's a liberal arts college, obviously, because they do have urban legend classes and stuff like that.
Well, because some of these schools have to have this stuff, because how would anybody host all these goofy shows on the History Channel?
Right.
You know, as professor or doctor, who gives a shit? You know, and they have a doctorate in, or let's say urban legends, for instance.
Yeah.
I guess it would be a folklore.
It's a folklore degree, yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we get a degree in horror movies? Maybe we'll get honorary. Maybe we can be doctors.
An honorary doctorate?
Yeah, yeah, for being a horror enthusiast. That'd be great.
The urban legend that he's going over in class is the classic babysitter with the man upstairs, you know. What? We don't have... I'm thinking of a different urban legend with the clown upstairs.
Oh, we don't have clown shoes.
No, they say we don't have a clown statue.
Oh, I don't know this one.
It's pretty much the same urban legend, but it has a killer clown.
Oh.
And yeah, the babysitter calls going, yeah, I got little Timmy down for bed, but it's really weird that you guys got that scary clown statue in his room. And they're like, oh, we don't have a clown statue. Bum, bum, bum.
I see. Okay.
So yeah.
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 Ooh. That's a good one.
But I mean, like, this is pretty much the same concept.
Yeah, yeah.
Just...
Brenda and Natalie are giggling and get called down to the front of the class, which this is where Professor Wexler starts to challenge another urban legend, which is the old Pop Rocks and Cola urban legend, which Brenda's just like, I'm not doing that, because that's how that kid Mikey died.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's like, no.
Nope.
Mikey's still alive.
Yeah.
You thought you heard that urban legend. Well, it's wrong.
Yeah.
Fact or faked right now.
That's
right. And guess what? You're an idiot. It was fake.
Yeah, we should have had Jonathan Frakes be Wexler instead.
I know.
Damon comes down to the front of the class because he's a big old badass, and he decides he's going to take the challenge of eating Pop Rocks and Cola. He does so, and he starts to convulse. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Just prank, bro.
Ugh.
Don't worry about it. Just prank.
Yeah, Wexler's the only one that doesn't panic. He's just got his arms crossed going, you dipshit.
Well, now we have Natalie and Brenda walking across campus again. Mm-hmm. And they see on the student newspaper, there's an article about one of their classmates that recently died.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Oh.
Folks, if you're smart, you know that it's the girl from the beginning of the movie.
That's right.
And they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And we see like college security and the dean.
Yeah.
They're gathering up the newspapers before anybody can grab them. Mm-hmm. And Paul's really upset.
Yeah.
Because he shows up and he's like, hey, I wrote that story.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to know that story.
Don't you believe in freedom of press? And they're like, don't you, we believe in the freedom of you being a dickhead. Shove off, you little turd.
It's not quite like that. It's more the security going, we don't need this story to get spread because we're actually one of the safest colleges in the country. So we don't need people to be scared.
Yeah, it's already bad enough that there's an urban legend about there being a massacre.
A murder.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't need it to happen again. Back at the coffee shop, they see on TV a news story about the girl that was murdered, which solidifies what Paul was reporting, and that the gas station attendant is a suspect and is currently missing. Oh,
poor guy. He was trying to be nice.
Yeah, the gang just kind of talks about the girl that went missing. Mm-hmm. And Damon, of course, being the piece of shit that he is, has to make a lewd joke about her giving great head because she was decapitated.
This is definitely a too soon moment.
Yeah.
They're just kind of trying to see, like, who knew her, mm-hmm. what the story is. And it's revealed that Natalie did, in fact, know her from school and whatnot. So she's a little upset about it.
Yeah.
She mopes back to her room and she has a little tiff with the roomie.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little time capsule part for this is you see kids back in the day. When folks wanted to be on the internet, there was this little awful thing called dial-up.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that usually meant that only one person could be on the internet at a time, even though there is two computers in this dorm room. And if somebody, God forbid, needed to use the phone, then nobody could be on the computer because you had to use the same line that the dial-up was on was usually used for a phone. Now, this is a fancy pants college, Autumn.
There should be two phone lines in
the room.
There should
be a separate line for the phone and a separate line for the fucking computer. What are we doing here? Like, and then a splitter for both computers.
Wow.
That should existed then.
See, I didn't even think of all that because by the time I got internet, I was able to have the fancy cable internet. Natalie needed to check her answering machine, so that's why her and her roommate had the little tiff, because she's like, please get off the computer.
Yeah.
Natalie, since her roommate has left now, she decides this is a great moment to reminisce on the girl that she just lost.
Yes.
And I'm like, how long has it been since they've actually talked?
Right, because I don't know what year Natalie is, what semester or however, like, where is she in her college experience?
Yeah, and I just feel like, I feel like if they were that good of friends, then the other friends would have already known about her too, and been like, oh my gosh, Natalie, your friend, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, because she has a copy of her high school yearbook with her. That's what that's how we as the audience get to learn all this history between the two.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of cute little pictures of them in the yearbook, mm-hmm. and I think she's got a couple of, like, loose photographs, too, or she's definitely reminiscing.
Yes, for sure. Damon picks up Natalie because she's having just a hard time, and out of everybody that she knows, apparently he's the best person to hang out with when she's having a hard time.
Yeah.
It's a weird choice, but anyway, they go out to the middle of nowhere to just hang out and talk, and he's pretending to be a good guy, but also is trying extra hard to get into her pants. Thankfully, Natalie has some fucking standards about her gives him a good old-fashioned punch in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And then he keeps trying.
I was going to say, that didn't really, like, stop him.
No.
Like, he's got a goal in mind.
Yeah.
Which is, like, okay, we already know Damon's really shitty.
Yeah.
But this is, like, extra shitty, especially since they know that, like, she's in this depressive state now.
Yeah.
That's not how you get laid.
No. A gag that I didn't mention that I want to be sure that I did was whenever they first get into the car, which the car has problems starting, is the radio turns on and we get a little snippet of the Dawson's Creek theme song.
Because
the guy was in Dawson's Creek.
Oh.
It's a joke that only works if you're alive at this point in time
and
in history.
And had seen Dawson's Creek and knew. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an Easter egg that is for a very specific audience.
Very specific.
After she fends him off from being a fucking creep, he's like, well, I'm going to go have a piss. And he goes off into the woods. Man, I feel like I've said that sentence a lot this year. is someone going off in the woods to have a pee. Like that's the real theme of this year.
No, this year has a lot of odd connections and themes from movie to movie.
Yeah.
This is the most connected universe
we've
had.
I want to say that all the movies we've watched this year all take place in the same universe.
Yes.
They're all within the same like 50 miles of each other, with the exception of maybe one or two films that are in completely different countries.
Yes.
But they probably have a cousin, you know, an identical cousin that happens to live nearby. Damon, it's a classic blunder. You know, you're out in the middle of nowhere. There's some murders happening. The last thing you need to do is go out in the middle of the woods to have a pee. Mm. He gets attacked.
He gets choked.
That's right. Damn right he does. I'm surprised he didn't lean into it a little bit, the creep.
Yeah, so Natalie's back at the car by herself, and she starts to hear some odd sounds.
Yes.
This is weird. She goes off to check on Damon because this has been a little too long for a pee.
Yeah, maybe it's a poo.
Oh, my goodness. And she runs into our killer.
Yeah.
We finally get a little bit of a good look at him, man in parka.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been kind of flashes before now, so we can't really see what's going on.
Yeah.
But now we see man in parka.
Yeah.
Hook, hand, door man happens.
Yes. Yeah. She rushes back inside the vehicle and is freaking out. She's trying to start it, but the car is a piece of shit car.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally, as she starts the car up, she hears sounds on the roof of the car, and it's like, oh my God, maybe it's the killer. Little does she know, what's actually happening is that Damon has been strung up by the killer, and when she starts the car, she's actually hanging him. She then gasses it and hits the killer. Well, cool, we're taking care of business real fast.
That's right.
She backs up because she's freaked out by the killer, and as she does so, Damon's dead body crashes through the windshield of the car, and she's just like, zoops, I gotta go.
Yep, decides to sprint away.
Mm-hmm. Nat must be a National League sprinter.
Right.
Because she runs from wherever they were secluded to the campus security office to tell Officer Reese about the death of Damon. Well, she's just like, bullshit, but I'll go check it out. They go out there. The car is gone. Damon's body is gone. But there is a can of alcohol. And she's like,
mm-hmm.
Your kid's been drinking.
I think you're hallucinating.
Yeah.
Which, I never get that in movies.
No. They weren't doing absinthe.
Yeah.
Or mushrooms or acid. They were just drinking.
Just drinking some Jim Beam.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you're okay. You know, you're not like, that's,
you're
not
going to hallucinate on that. Don't worry.
That trope,
I'll never get that in,
you know,
movies.
Like when the drunk like looks at the monster walking by and reeku 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 on their eyes.
I gotta stop drinking.
Yeah, the whole pink elephants thing. I don't get that.
Yeah.
Anywho, Natalie's just like, no, the killer was here. The killer that killed Michelle and you know, the girl from the beginning of the movie, she says. And Reese is just like, the killer was caught. They've got the gas station attendant in custody. So you're full of shit, kid. Like, you just need to.
I know.
You just need to go back to your dorm room.
They're so harsh on these kids in this movie.
For real.
That brings us to the next day where our gang is hanging out and Natalie's trying to tell the gang about what she saw and what happened. And, well, Damon's not at school yet. So has anybody seen him? And Parker's like, yeah, it was probably just a prank by him. Don't worry. He'll show up soon.
Yeah, they allude to the fact that he went on a ski trip and is probably banging some co-eds
on
a mountain somewhere. This is when we get this weird, you know, we got to get the plot moving somehow.
Yeah.
And miraculously, the gang is just like, wait a minute. Yeah. Isn't this all just urban legends? Wait, hold on. They might as well had like brought down a cork board and started putting the red string on everything.
Yeah.
Because they just started connecting a lot of dots that I feel weren't very obvious to these college kids.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so lucky that they're taking this urban legends class together, and all of these urban legends have been heard in class.
The next little bit is really sloppy. And just for our sake and the listener's sake, I just want to say that we keep getting flashes back and forth between Natalie's roommate, Tosh, who's chatting on the internet, and Natalie, who's wanting to investigate into urban legends. Ultimately, with a little bit of Podcastmagoria magic, what we are getting introduced to is that Tosh is chatting with some boy on the internet to set up a meet and greet, if you know what I mean.
Hey, well, yeah, this is very definitely early days of the internet urban legend.
Yes. And so let's just talk about Tosh. Let's just connect all the dots for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's talking to this random stranger. Hey, you ready for a night of fun? Yeah, you know, where do you want to meet? And all that kind of stuff. And Tasha's like, I need to go get ready. Where are you? Is the last thing that she sends to the person she's chatting with. She goes to the bathroom. She starts to freshen up. Now, back to Natalie. She goes to the library to find a book on urban legends. And we get introduced to basically all of the urban legends that are in this movie very quick. As she's flipping through the pages, we see little pictures that represent urban legends we've already seen and a few that we've not seen yet. But good job, guys, for giving us all this.
Natalie's not the only one that's in the library. Sasha's also there.
Yeah.
And she's looking through the urban legends with Natalie.
Yeah.
And she points out one that is not an urban legend, but a true story because it actually happens. And that's the gang headlights story where,
yes,
you know, people drive at night in the dark and the unsuspecting driver flashes their headlights and gets shot.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, that does happen.
Yeah, yeah. That's definitely another one that I think of to this day.
Yes, yeah. I make sure to have my headlights on and, you know, never flash at anybody.
Yeah, because Springfield has a lot of people driving around with their headlights not on.
Yes.
And it's just like, sorry, tough luck.
Yeah, sorry.
Sasha is excited about the book that she picked up from the library, which was the Kama Sutra. We see a few pages of that, too.
A useless little thing that they had to put in.
Sasha's kind of a useless character.
I feel like half the friend group is a little useless.
They're just kind of there to die.
They're just kind of there to die.
We don't ever really make a connection to any of these people.
Yeah.
Especially Parker. Parker is barely...
is Parker and Sasha are the two that we could have just like...
Yeah.
We didn't need them. But I think they could have mashed the character of Damon and Parker together.
Yes.
Because they're almost the same.
Yeah, because Parker's a douche too.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprisingly, Jared Leto's the good guy in this one.
Whew. Back to Tosh finishing getting ready for her hot late night rendezvous. she finally returns to the dorm room to see that the person she's been chatting with has finally answered back where they are, and where that person is in her dorm room. Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. She should have never told him where she was at.
And
and it happens pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like Tasha's killed.
Yeah.
Natalie walks in while this is happening.
Yes.
And assumes that Tosh is just getting pounded again.
Yep.
And doesn't say it where she's like, oh, nope, I'm not turning the lights on. Don't mind me.
Yeah.
And just crawls right into bed with the headphones.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Tosh is like,
Yeah.
And Natalie's like, dang, really getting it. Damn.
Good grief. I'm going to run the batteries down quick tonight on my headset.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The next morning, Natalie wakes up and not only does she find Tasha's bloody dead body, but sees on the wall written, aren't you glad you didn't turn on the light? Urban legend.
Urban legend.
she is, of course, questioned about what has happened, and she's trying to convince Officer Reese and the dean that Tosh was murdered. And they're like, well, but...
Well, she was depressed, yeah, and she was goth, so probably just committed suicide.
That's exactly it. And so they just toss it aside. And everybody else kind of believes that narrative as well. And ultimately, they're like, why didn't you say anything when you heard her being murdered? Natalie's just like, well, but she was also getting that ass murdered every night.
They even ask her, well, like, did you even see who it was? And right, she's like, well, no, because I wasn't going to be looking.
Right. Yeah. Haven't you ever had a roommate that's always going to Pound Town?
And they're like, no, actually, that's weird that that's been happening.
Yeah. Why didn't you tell your resident assistant?
Anywho, we might as well check in with Paul. We've hardly seen anything from Paul as a main character.
Yeah.
Let's see what he wants. And what he wants is some details about Michelle, and does Natalie know what is going on?
Yes. Yeah. He also still doesn't necessarily believe that Damon's been killed, mm-hmm, even though now we've got two deaths that have happened that are more or less connected to Natalie. It sounds to me like she's a suspect, but nobody ever picks up on
this. Nobody ever really suspects her, right, but, you know, he plays the same thing as Damon did. Let's go somewhere to talk.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh no, Natalie, you're going to try to fall for it again.
Right.
Luckily, Paul's a nice guy, though.
Yeah.
He really does just want to talk.
Yeah.
He's pretty much telling her, hey, like, I really think this whole urban legend killer thing is really far-fetched. And why would they be doing it now?
Right.
Right around the time of this anniversary of this massacre.
Wow, I wonder if those things are connected. Freaking journalist ding dong.
Right? He's just like, yeah, maybe it's all happening because of this party that's going on. Party pooper.
That's right. Yeah. Finally agrees to kind of look more deep into this because they don't really know a whole lot of details about this ultimate urban legend of the murder that happened on campus. So they go to look at the old records and discover that the records for that particular year are missing.
What?
Oh shit, I think there actually might be plot happening, folks.
When they exit, they see the janitor cleaning up and they decide to ask him, hey, was there ever any murders in Stanley Hall?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, you need to ask Wexler about that. Professor England about that.
That's right. Yeah. They go to Wexler's office and do some snooping around and find a secret room behind some books that happens to have a parka and an axe. Oh, cool.
Huh. All the evidence is here.
Yep.
What do you know? It is really kind of kooky.
Yeah.
How they just find the secret room it's just all there.
Yeah, this is definitely some Scooby-Doo territory.
I was going to say, it feels so very Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Wexler comes into the office and catches them, ultimately, and takes them to the dean's office, where the dean's just like, you little shits need to fucking back off.
Yeah. And he's even like looked into their permanent records now.
Yeah.
And he's like, Natalie, you have a probation period? What's that about?
Yeah. Normally we don't let students come to this school that are trouble. And then it's just like, and Paul, it would be an awful shame if something happens to your news career.
Well, in fact, something did happen because your editor fired you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, damn.
This is not how the dean is talking, but he might as well. Hillman Reese.
Yeah.
The security. They might as well be talking to these kids like that.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, we might as well, after all of that kerfuffle, have a calming scene where we're in the pool.
Yeah. Yeah. Brenda's having herself a nice little swim. Natalie arrives to, I guess, tell Brenda what all's been going on. But she arrived, like, so I don't really understand why Natalie would have gone upstairs.
Yeah, to
is she just watching Brenda?
Yeah. You know, I think that this scene was just put in just so we have a fake out.
Yeah.
Because it does ultimately lead to a fake out of Brenda's swim partner comes in a parka for some reason,
yeah.
even though it seems to be kind of warm outside.
Yeah.
Did we need this scene?
No. I guess it's just to show Natalie losing her grip.
Right.
And to make everybody else think that she's absolutely batshit crazy. Brenda and Natalie end up having a conversation about everything that's going on. And Natalie finally gives Brenda the skinny on why she thinks everything's happening. Mm. And we get a flashback sequence of Natalie and Michelle doing the headlight gang initiation gag.
Yeah, they took it too far, though, because it was just supposed to be a ha-ha prank. Yeah. But, like, they straight up...
They killed a man. Yeah, they killed a man. Not intentionally, but they killed a man. So... That might also explain why Natalie and Michelle aren't exactly the best of pals.
Yeah, that explains some stuff now.
It's one of those things where I bet, like, you know, they graduated from high school, they're going to college, and Michelle was probably like, there's no way Natalie got into this school. And then orientation starts, and there's Natalie, and she's like, ah, shit. And then they just dodged each other the entire time.
Yeah. They didn't want their baggage to come back to them, I guess. I don't know.
Well, whoops. Paul gets a tip from the janitor in the form of a newspaper showing that Wexler was, in fact, the sole survivor of the massacre that did, in fact, happen. Son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. It was an urban legend.
And also, Wexler had the parka and the axe. And now we see that... Hold on. Wexler might just be the killer.
I'm suspicious.
Mm-hmm. Now that we've learned this, we might as well check in on two characters that we've barely seen in the movie at all, which is the Dean and Officer Reese, where we get another trope that we've been missing from this movie, which is a lot of deaths are happening, but by God, we're not going to cancel this fucking party.
Of course.
We don't want to alarm anyone. So even though this might lead to another massacre, we're going to allow all these kids to have a good time, damn it. We've seen it in Jaws. We've seen it in Hack-A-Lantern.
It doesn't work. If there's a lot of murders going on and there's a big party, just cancel it, for God's sake.
Yes.
Yeah. I promise you, you can reschedule.
Absolutely.
My God.
Yeah. They even... snuck that into Night Beast.
I know.
Why is this such a common thing? Doesn't anyone learn?
Slugs,
they do it. Yes. Yes. And they even do it in a local project that we had the honor to review. Happy Halloween.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
It's a funny trope.
Yes. Officer Reese is definitely in the camp of maybe we need to play it safe. And the dean's just like, listen, you work for me, see?
And don't overreact,
yeah,
see?
That's right. Sends her on her way. And as he's going to his car in his parking garage, he gets his tendon slit on his ankle. Ooh,
his
that's
Achilles,
gotta hurt.
His that's Achilles right. heel?
That's right, his Shaquille's heel. And we get a fairly gruesome death for the dean.
Did the director not like this guy or something? Because he's got the gnarliest death of anyone.
Yeah, because he's crawling away with his bleeding ankle. And then the killer puts his car in neutral so it slowly rolls down the hill. And as he's just getting over a spike strip, the car runs him over, causing him to get impaled. Now, I'm not aware of this urban legend.
This is not an urban legend, as far as I'm aware.
I didn't take the time to learn about it.
Of course there's like parking garage urban legends of, make sure you're aware of your surroundings and stuff. But I don't think it goes this far.
No. This was more sloppy.
It's more like a stalking situation usually in those stories. Not...
Yeah.
not getting ran over like this.
No.
Well, hey, just so happens it is the night of the party and it's going off without a hitch.
Yeah, another trope that's been in all the movies is we got a college party where everybody's having a good time.
Yeah, there's even the kid info dumping about urban legends at the party.
Yeah, weird this, nerd kid.
This town really likes urban legends, yes. I think.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Oh, we see Parker having his dog drink from a beer bong. They're killing a dog tonight.
Yeah. If anything, I mean, where's the pate and the cat?
Right.
That's one of my favorite urban legends.
The dog's name's Hootie, in case you cared.
We don't know the dean's name, but we know the dog's name.
That's right. That's right. I never wrote down the dean's name. I just wrote Dean.
I just wrote Dean, too. Natalie and Brenda show up to the party, and Brenda's super excited, and she goes to grab them a beer. And Paul literally suddenly shows up with an article.
Yeah. He's like, look, see, Wexler was there. It's all true.
Was he just like standing like waiting. A wallflower?
Yes.
Waiting to see one of them come in and go, oh my God, this article. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Because it's immediate.
I like to imagine that he was standing there and different people were coming up to him to try to have a conversation with him. He's like, no, get away. You know, he's like,
I've got to make my dramatic entrance.
Yeah, that weird kid that's obsessed with urban legends, like, hey, Paul, have you ever heard of this one?
No. I love that image. He does apologize.
Yeah.
He's like, I've been a big poopy head and I haven't been believing anyone about this stuff, but it turns out this massacre actually happened. Maybe urban legends aren't so bad after all.
Yeah. They also learn that they can't rely on calling the cops because the dean, like an asshole that he was, wanted to make sure his party went off without a hitch. And so he had actually already informed local law enforcement that because there's going to be a bunch of drunk college kids, to not answer any calls because they'll all be pranks. Surely nothing would actually possibly go wrong at a college party. This was a dumb move by the dean.
It really was.
Urban legend stuff aside,
yeah.
If any of you out there listening have been to a big college party like this, the last thing you want to do is make it where emergency services can't come out.
Yeah.
Because someone is at the very least getting alcohol poisoning.
Yes, yes.
These kids are going to die not from a murderer, but by their own hand because they're stupid. At the very least, a dog is dying.
So it's really weird because there hasn't really been any chemistry between Paul and Natalie.
Yeah.
But I don't know where they're kissing, and Brenda sees, she comes back with the beers, and she's like,
what is this? Another theme.
Another theme.
Of people kissing that have no business kissing.
Yeah, because it should have obviously been Brenda and Paul.
It obviously should have been Brenda and Natalie.
Oh, James.
Now that would have been the reveal of a century.
Now that would have been good.
Yeah.
We're remaking this one, too.
Harumph! Brenda storms out. Officer Reese is, because we got to check in with Officer Reese, because we need more main characters, because all the other ones have been dying off. So Officer Reese has decided to play a little bit of detective and goes to Wexler's office and discovers that it is torn up. And
the axe is gone.
The axe is gone, and so's the coat. Oh, shit. The murderer's on the loose. But it might not be Wexler, because Officer Reese slips and breaks her ass on a whole lot of blood.
Back at the party, Paul is the only one with some brains.
Yeah.
Going, we gotta stop this party, guys.
Yes.
We gotta stop. We can't do this. And
Parker takes it upon himself to make a huge ass of Paul, going, oh, okay, all right, everybody quiet down. Paul's got something important to say. Apparently, there's a big, scary killer running around campus, and they're killing everyone through urban legends. oh no, hey folks, should we stop the party or should we pump up the jams? And of course everybody's just like, well, pump up the jams.
Yeah, pump up
the jams. If you say it like that, you have to choose pump up the jams. And so, yeah, everybody just laughs and makes fun of Paul for being the voice of reason, as this happens at most college parties that I've been to, at least.
Parker starts the party back up.
Yep.
They're listening to the radio because Sasha's on. And
yes.
Okay, so now we're at a party where they're playing a talk show on the radio.
That's so fun.
So fun.
Yeah.
Let's pump up the jams, folks. Pump up my girlfriend's voice.
Right. Yeah.
I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah. While Sasha's doing her radio program, Parker gets a phone call from the killer. And he's like, oh, no. Oh, I think I know this story, right? There's the call coming from inside the house.
And the caller's like, nope, it's the one about the dog in the microwave.
I fucking told you, a dog is dying tonight. Not how I thought.
At least it wasn't a baby, because this story goes either way. It's either a dog or a baby.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is about my mother's crazy sister, Kate.
Her crazy sister, Kate.
Yep. She put the dog in the microwave.
Oh, no. To eat it?
No, silly. Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
No. Now, you would be thinking to yourself, okay, so the killer did an urban legend to kill a dog. Yikes. But how is this killer going to kill Parker? Aha! Well, we get a throwback to an earlier urban legend, but this time kicked up a notch.
Because
Parker runs to the bathroom to throw up, and as he's doing so, the killer comes in and gives him a good old belly full of Pop Rocks and Drano.
What? That would kill somebody?
I don't think we needed the Pop Rocks here.
No, we didn't.
I think the killer's stretching.
Yeah. He's starting to run out of some ideas.
Definitely. Checking back in with Reese. Reese is trying to call the cops, but they're just like, well, we just can't get out there. It's just not going to happen. It's like, well, Jesus Christ, there's people dying out here. And they're like, well, you know, what you got to do? It's Chief Wiggums that she's talking to.
And since we're kicking it up all of these notches,
might as
well have another kill happen right behind that one. Now we get to see Sasha die, which there's a lot of people that die in this scene.
Okay.
These are not all urban legend killings now.
No, because, okay, so what ends up happening, and this is the most unbelievable scene in the entire movie, and that is weird to say, but so, and I'll explain why here in a moment. Sasha is chased by the killer throughout the radio station, and she's screaming for help, and it's all broadcast on the radio. Now, here's the thing, folks. She leaves the sound booth where the microphones live.
Yeah.
If I were to get up right now and go, oh no, there's a killer. Help. Help me. There's a killer. Oh no, I've left the sound booth and now I'm leaving the very room that I'm in. Ah, a killer is chasing me. Oh no, I'm running back into the sound booth now because that's clearly the safest place to be. All right, I'm settling down next to the mic. Okay, I'm back at the mic. Time to be murdered on mic. It's the craziest thing to me that the entire time
she's running around the entire radio station, and they can hear every little detail.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
And everybody's listening to the radio going, oh no, she's getting killed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, except for Urban Legend Kid, who thinks that this is the most brilliant homage to urban legends ever.
Right.
Which I guess, you know, fair point.
Fair
it kind of is.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the urban legend's supposed to be here. I think it's just murder.
I think it's just murder. As I said, he's ran out of ideas. He's just getting it out.
Yeah, so track star Natalie runs to save Sasha just to get there in time to see Sasha be murdered, and a little hi wave from the killer. Reese hears all this happen on the radio and starts to come to the radio station. Now, how on earth Natalie was able to run on foot to the station long before Reese, who's in a car, mind you, I'll never understand. Outside, Natalie runs into Brenda. She also finds Paul. She kind of is like, I think that Paul might be the killer, but I don't know. Definitely not Brenda, though.
Definitely not Brenda.
They hop into the car with Paul and just get the fuck out of there, because obviously the campus is not safe. And they go to a gas station, and Natalie's still kind of like, I don't know about this Paul character. And they smell something. And they're like, what's that stinky smell? And Brenda and Natalie get out. They check the back of the vehicle. And oh, shit, it's the body of Wexler.
Paul is the killer?
I guess he is.
What?
Natalie and Brenda run into the woods to get away from Paul, the killer. They get split up. Natalie gets picked up by the janitor, who she spots a parka in the back seat of his truck. I'm just going to assume that the parka is just like, they must be just handing those things out at this
school.
Yeah,
it's got to be like a staff parka or something.
Something, yeah, because everybody's got one.
Everyone's got one.
The same one.
But I do like this part of the movie because it's making the audience and Natalie think, oh my God, he's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And also, of course, no one suspects the janitor.
Yeah, it could be multiple killers or it could just be one. But we definitely did see a dead body in Paul's car.
They must be in cahoots. As the janitor's driving, a car is coming towards them that doesn't have its headlights on. He's like, oh, those idiots. And he flashes the headlights. And Natalie's like, no. They get into a car chase. The janitor wrecks the car and gets killed. Natalie, seemingly fine, crawls out of the truck. And like the track star she is, she books it back to campus.
Yeah, it looked like they were slightly out of town when all this happened, so I'm not really sure where this college is exactly located. But she, for some reason, her big idea is to run to Stanley Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
To hide out, and she does hear Brenda screaming.
Yeah.
Somewhere. So she goes. Natalie is now passed out, and as she wakes up, she sees Brenda over her in the parka.
Oh, shit.
All of our assumptions have been wrong.
Yeah.
It has been Brenda the entire time, and she is acting batshit insane.
Yeah.
Like, her whole demeanor has changed, and she's pretty much kind of making Natalie feel bad about the situation with the guy, going, well, you could have stopped Michelle from running that guy off the road. Oh, and by the way, that guy that you killed all those years ago, and why I'm so mad? It's because it was my boyfriend.
Not just boyfriend. Fiancé. Yes. Yeah, they were going to get married right out of high school and all that. And
her high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
This is not good for Natalie.
No. Brenda is just like, you know, flat out going to kill Natalie. And she wants to take her kidney to do that classic urban legend.
Yeah.
We're kind of like, I get Brenda. Come on, girl, you're stretching so much.
I still say she should have done the poisoned pate, urban legend.
Yep.
Reese shows up to save the day, but it doesn't work out.
No.
Brenda's kind of easily takes down Reese as a security guard, but, you know, hey, maybe Reese didn't have her whole head in the game.
Well, I was going to say that maybe, like, that is kind of crazy that, Reese got taken down by Brenda so quick, because Brenda is, you know, like, she's a scrawny little thing, but she also has that swimmer strength.
True.
So she is very fit for being scrawny.
Now, we might as well have somebody else show up. And so Paul now shows up. Yeah. And he's been listening into the entire thing. And he's like, wow, I really thought my plans with Wexler's body was going to be messed up. But now I see I could just work with Brenda.
Yeah.
And we can be a couple.
Yeah.
And we'll run away into the sunset together.
Yeah.
It'll be so lovely.
Yeah. And Brenda's just like, get the fuck away. It's like, you think I'm stupid? Yeah. And
so while Brenda's standing there trying to figure out who she's going to kill first, Paul mm-hmm. or Natalie, mm-hmm. turns out Reese wasn't dead the entire time. Mm-hmm. And she gets up and actually does save the day.
Yeah. She shoots Brenda, and then Natalie gets a hold of the other gun and shoots Brenda as well.
Yeah.
And Brenda falls out the window to her death. After Brenda falls out the window, Paul and Natalie drive to get help. And they're just like, where's the twist?
And here's the twist, because guess what? They didn't check their goddamn back seat.
That's right.
And
yeah.
did they even see if Brenda's body was still...
I think they just ran to the car.
They
yeah.
just ran to the car yeah. like a bunch of idiots. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Brenda in back seat. We get a classic car tussle.
Yeah, they're fighting and they crash into a bridge. Brenda flies out the windshield into the water and floats away dead. Ah. Okay, finally.
No, no, James. That's not how... We can't have a happy ending.
That's right. We then see some students sitting around seemingly telling the story of the urban legend killer of the campus. And one of the students is like, ah, I don't think that's quite how it happened. And the camera comes around to reveal that Brenda is now posing as a different student to tell the story correctly.
Yes. There's three of these movies, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's several sequels. I don't know if they pick it up from Brenda or if it's just standalones.
I really didn't know there were sequels. I only knew about the first one. So
I think I saw the second one.
That just goes to show how popular the sequels were, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
But verdict, sounded like we kind of hated this movie, but I love this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's very fun. It's a classic late 90s slasher. It
yeah.
fits well with that trinity of Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Mm-hmm, yep.
It's got a lot working for it. It's got a lot working against mm-hmm. it. It's a little sloppy.
If you're really familiar with the urban legends, you do appreciate it
yeah.
a lot more. And yeah, it gets sloppy in areas, obviously, but I think you have a fun enough time with it
mm-hmm.
that you can kind of overlook a lot of the negative
yeah.
aspects of the movie.
Yeah.
So verdict is, give it a watch.
Definitely.
I like it.
Yeah.
As I said, you see a lot of little cameos from all mm-hmm. these horror icons.
Yeah.
So might as well watch it for that,
yeah,
at least.
Yeah, it's chock full of people that aren't even just horror icons. Like, it's got a stacked cast.
It does,
and,
yeah.
you know, people that...
Oh, Michael Rosenbaum?
Yeah, yeah, he's Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's everybody in this movie
Rebecca
pretty much...
Rebecca Gayhart
is Brenda. Yeah.
And she was, like, huge at
yeah.
the time.
Everybody went on to do other stuff that wasn't an already established actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this launched a lot of careers. And so mm-hmm. there must be something to it.
Yeah.
but yeah, so find it where you can. It makes its rounds.
It does, yeah.
So it's also usually pretty cheap on DVD. So you can
it's a $5 bin find.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You can do worse than Urban Legends.
Yes. So. 100%.
So that brings us to the end this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A2Z. Our next episode is our V episode. V for Van Helsing.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Hey, all right. Speaking of nostalgia goggles.
I will not be taking off my nostalgia goggles for that one because I've recently watched this. I watch this every couple of years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't, but we'll see how much we still love that movie next time. Until next time, if you find yourself attending a college that has an urban legend about it, maybe there's something to it. Be sure that you check your back seats, turn on those lights, don't go out with internet strangers, and most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah. Bye.
You've been listening to Podcast Megoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, theme by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.